the question, well, why? Why did he get upset? It's because the people allowed things in the temple that didn't belong. They didn't belong there. And look, we've been there. We've been there. It doesn't just happen, but over a long period of time it happens. And I believe that's what happened with them, because the book was lost. But they found it in the middle of the cleanup and preparing to work on a temple. So the people of Yahweh allow much into the temple and in their lives. You know, and you think, I thought about this, how in the world could they allow, or what could they have allowed in a temple that was so bad? You know what? So let's take a look at it. 2 Kings 23. Four through 11. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the doorkeepers to bring out the vessel of the Lord, all the vessels that were made for Baal, for Asherah, and for all the host of heaven, and he burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron and carried their ashes to Bethel. He did away with the adulterous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the surrounding area of Jerusalem. All those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the constellations, and to all the host of heaven. He brought out the Asherah from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and ground it to dust, and threw it its dust on the graves of the common people. He also broke down the houses, the male co-prostitutes which were in the house of the Lord, where the women were weaving hangings for Asherah. So they had male prostitutes in the temple. That's unbelievable. How in the world could they have drifted that far? To have male prostitutes in the temple. Then he brought out the priests from the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and he broke down the high places of the gates which were at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on one's left at the city gate. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places did not go up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they ate unleavened bread among their brethren. He also defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughters pass through the fire for Molech. So they were burning their sons and daughters too. Isn't that something? You get so far off track that you would do something like that. Let's look at verse 23:5. I want to point something out here. And this is really where the questions start. He did away with the adulterous priests whom the kings of Judah had appointed to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, in the surrounding area of Jerusalem, also those who burn incense to Baal, to the sun and to the moon, to the constellations, into all the host of heaven. My question is, what have we set in the high place? You know, he talked about the high places here. You know, what did we set? What do we set in the high place of our life? What's at the top of the day, of our day, whenever the day starts? What have we set in the high place of our life? Work, friends, family, errands, hobby, yourself. Shouldn't it be Yahweh? Whenever I wake up in the morning, is my mind on Yahweh? You might say yes. What about at noon? What about in the evening? Whenever the work is done, we turn it in for the day. Or did we allow ourselves to elevate something above Yahweh? Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body. We're the temple of God. We're not our own. Was the price that Yeshua paid enough? And the way you answer that question is with my next question. Do the things that you allow in the temple glorify the Father? In our temple, the things that we allow there, that's the tell story of if Yeshua was enough, his sacrifice. That tells on us. Do the things that I allow in the temple glorify the Father? Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. All right, now they got some harsh stuff in here, but I want to focus on, all of it's important, but I want to focus on the last scripture that I'm going to read. Romans 1:18 through 32. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile and their speculations in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the women and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own person the due penalty of their error. You know, when I thought, I'm going to stop here for a minute. Whenever I read this, I thought about it. You know, what's going on with the gays and the lesbians now? And I wondered about that. But it seems to me what he's saying here is that at some point they become confused. But I think at some point God was willing to bail them out. But they refused to. So that's why he turned them over to their own passions and lust. But I believe at some point God tried to help them. Because he said, but in you know, he said that no man comes to him unless he draws them. So at some point I believe God drew them, but they refused to. But it doesn't mean he's done with them, because God, he'll still draw them. Because we've seen, I done heard testimonies of folks that were gay and they came out of it. But I believe that at some point God tried to save them, but they refused it. And he turned them over to their own passion and lust. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind and to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, there's two things I want to point out here. The first one is we know we shouldn't practice them, right? Do not practice them. We know that. But the other one I want to point out is that we shouldn't give approval to folks who do practice them. And I've done heard people, I mean, folks I go to church with, you know, you say something and they put the but in there. Well, a lot of times whenever you use that word but, you give an approval to what they're doing. And we should. Let's look at Habakkuk 1:13. He says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they? I think I wrote the wrong scripture down there. Yeah, I did. So we shouldn't give approval to folks who are practicing evil. And I'm not saying, you know, we should condemn them. We don't want to do that. But at the same time, I done had folks ask me questions. You know, do you think this is right? Do you think by me doing this, is this right? Well, we shouldn't just say, you know, well, it's up to you. No, we tell them. It's our job to tell them. No, that's not right. According to the scripture, that's wrong. You know, because we don't want to just brush it off, because then it's like we're giving them approval. We want to let them know, according to the word, not me, but according to the word of God, it's not right. And there's times where I did it. Now, you know, they asked me, where does it say that in the scripture? And there's times I was able to help them, but there's times where that I didn't know exactly where it was at the time, but at the end of the day, I made sure and give it to them. I text them the scripture so they can go ahead and look at it for themselves. What is in our life that God is saying it's time to get rid of? This is one I thought about. Remember whenever all the stuff was going on about Disney and you know how they got all the different messages in the Disney movies and all? Well, you know, we have a lot of Disney movies. And, you know, I started thinking about, you know, and talking to certain people, and you know, most of the conversation was, you know, we just can't get away from it. It's there, you know, we can't get away from it. You know? And you know, every time I'd watch these cartoons, my daughters would watch them, I would think about it. It's like it wouldn't shake me. I always thought about it. And the one that bothered me, we'll go ahead and take a look at it now. Deuteronomy 18. Nine through 11. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. I mean, it sounds familiar. One who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens or sorcery, or one who casts spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls on the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord. And because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Now that's the one that bothered me, the magic. All right, and I'm not telling anybody to go and do anything, but I'm telling you what I did. It bothered me. Because my daughters was watching this. And every time I seen it, it bothered me. So I started researching it. And this stuff is all over in the Old Testament about magic. You know, this is not something that just been there. You know, magic's been there. And God said it's detestable to him. So if it's detestable to God, shouldn't it be detestable to us? And, you know, whenever I brought it up in the past with folks, you know, they're like, well, we just can't get away from it. Well, I'm going to tell you how we get away from that stuff. We go to our house. See, at our home, we don't have to allow that there. It might be all around us whenever we're out in the public, but whenever we home, you know, God wouldn't allow that stuff in the camps. None of that. It was out. So you know where my camp's at? My camp's at my house. And if God says it's detestable to him, it should be detestable to us. And this is all the stuff that we let creep in. And look, again, I'm not telling anybody to do it. I know what I had to do. And if God says it's detestable to him, it should be detestable to me too. And if it's not, I need to get with the program, because it should be. And I thought about this. What are my kids going to watch? Seems like it's in every cartoon and everything. And it's pretty close. They getting there. Before long, it will be. So we pick and choose. If it's in it, we're not watching it. You know, and then I look at the kings in the Old Testament. These young kings, kids. You know, they didn't have TVs back then. You know what they had? They had the Torah. You know, the world's handicapped enough with kids. You know, them kings, they had to learn the Torah by heart, the four books of the first four books of the Bible. They had to learn them by heart and know them. And if you take them four books, it's real. It's not a whole bunch. But look what it did for them. They were mature enough to sit on a throne at 8, 9, 10 years old. But you know, if I was taking all of that from my kids, it would hurt them. Yeah, it was going to benefit them. I believe it was going to benefit them. You know, if the world want to handicap the kids, I'm not playing a part of that. I'm not playing a role in that. You know, my responsibility is to my kids. And I want to do what God shows me in his word to do. Let's go to Psalms 101. One through three. I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. What has a grip on you? Is it entertainment, work, family, friends, hobby? You know, what has a grip on you? What about the price that Yeshua paid? You know, that has a grip on me. Because I can't believe, even though I was in the midst of all of that stuff I was in, the corruption, the garbage, the things I was involved in, he still did what he did for me. And what about Yahweh, the price he paid? You know, he had to witness this. This couldn't have been easy. This is his son. He had to witness his son all the way to the cross and watch him suffer. Couldn't have been easy. You know, I think about my kids. You know, sometimes I correct them and I feel bad, but I know in the end it's going to help them. And that's what Yahweh knew. He knew in the end his son Yeshua, he'd raise him from the dead. So he was willing to witness that for a short period of time, and in the end raise him. And in the end, he's going to give us immortal life. We have to think about these questions. We have to answer these questions. What are we buddying up with? You ever thought about that? You know, what do I buddy up with? What do I buddy with? What do I buddy up with in the world? Do we really want to mix with the world? We only get one shot at this, right? One shot. So do we really want to mix with the world? Remember, it's not our own. This life is not our own. I'm going to ask you a question. And just bear with me on the question. All right? Y'all ready? Are you wicked? Are you wicked? You know, if I go around the room, and we can now question everybody in here in a separate room, and I'll ask you, is anybody out there wicked? I'm sure everybody would say no. You know, if I ask you if you're wicked, no. If I ask you if I'm with, no. Let's see what the word wicked means. The word wicked has the word wick in it. Means to twist or bind together. The word wicked is to be wrong by making trouble or twisting things with wicked work. So my question is, what are we twisting? What are we twisting and mingling in our life? Are we twisting and mingling the world ways? Are you a friend of the world? You know, we may not think we are, but we're not going to be judged by what we think of ourselves. We're going to be judged according to Yahweh. He's going to judge us, so we need to make sure that we're not a friend of the world. Look at James 4:4. You know, adulteresses do not. You know, adulterers, do you not know? You adulterers, I can't get this right. You adulterous, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So if we're a friend to the world, we're God's enemy. That's not good. We don't want to be a friend to the world because we don't want to be God's enemy. Let's not defend sin in our lives or other people's lives. You know, like I was saying earlier, that, you know, you have conversations with people and they mention things and you say something and they're like, yeah, but it'll be all right. Well, probably won't till they change. They make a change, then it'll be all right. Let's go to 2 Kings 23:25. Maybe 1 Kings. Many times I went over this. I think I got this right. I think it was 1 Kings. No, it ain't 1 Kings. All right, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 1:14-15. And I was, it was 15. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and he called me through his grace, was pleased. So we have been set apart. Let's see if I can find this other scripture right quick. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy. But God has set us apart. 8 through 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Called us with a holy calling. So we've been called. We've been set apart. He wants us to separate ourselves from the world. He don't want us mixing and mingling with it, but he wants us separated. And you know, we might say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, it is a big deal. That's why he's showing us in the Word. You know, we can't mix and mingle with the world, because we're going to get ourselves in trouble and we're going to get caught up in the stuff that we're pulling away from. And we don't want that. Deuteronomy 7:6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. See, that's a big deal. Right there, that's a big deal. God picked us. From all the people on the earth, he picked us. That's a big deal. And I'm glad he picked me. We're called to be holy, not kind of holy, not kind of set apart. You know, he called us to be holy. Not mixing with the world, but removing ourselves from the world. And I know that can be tough. We've been going through that. But we don't stop now. We got to keep going. And I have one more scripture. 1 Peter 1. I want to tell you out of the description until I look at it. I done got two wrong, man. Three strikes and I'm out of here. As many times I went over this, I'm like, man, how in the world did I miss that? But it happened. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who has called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So there it is. We should be holy because Yahweh is holy. That's all I have for tonight. Thank everybody for coming out. And you're dismissed.